This program is designed to provide general information with regards to the subject matters covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the hosts, guests, sponsors, or station are engaged in rendering any specific and personal, medical, financial, legal, counseling, professional service, or any advice. You should seek the services of competent professionals before applying or trying any suggested ideas.
Good morning and welcome to K4HD Radio. This is the Your Living Brand Live show. My name is Ben Baker. This show is all about how you communicate value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Over the next 50 minutes, we will explore different ways to help you demonstrate your uniqueness and ask our guest, what's your story? Welcome to the show. Good morning, everybody. It's Ben Baker. It is the Your Living Brand Show. It is 10 o'clock in the morning on the West Coast. Good morning. Good morning to all my wonderful listeners. Good morning to Rebel, my incredible sound engineer. And I want to give a shout out to Johnny Lee from C-Level Partners. He's going to be joining me in about 10 or 12 minutes. And we're going to have an amazing conversation about sales and sales process. You know, I came from a sales background before I got into marketing and branding. And I think we're going to have a really great conversation. So tune in. Now, I wanted to talk to you guys about a subject that a lot of people don't really think about. Everybody, you know, bandies around the word. You know, they use the word, but do they really mean it? And the word is integrity. I had a conversation with a client first thing this morning, actually quite early, and the word integrity came up because they were just sitting there going, you know what, this person was not being, you know, was not living a life with integrity. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? And we got into this long conversation about what they specifically meant by integrity. And everybody's got a different definition. Everybody has got a different definition. Everybody's got a different moral code. Everybody's got, you know, we all have basic tenets of things that we believe in, things that we, you know, things that we say are good and certain things that we go ahead. But it's on a spectrum. There is no black and white. There is no right and wrong to an absolute. We're all along the scale. And in the end, every single one of us needs to live up to our own moral code. And we need to appreciate that what I believe and what I think is right and what I think is an absolute and a deal breaker for somebody else may not be such a big deal. And it's understanding that, you know what, different people think differently. Different people come to this conversation with different thoughts, different beliefs, different ideas, different history, and different ideas of what's right and what's wrong and which way to go with it. I mean, take, for example, you know, cannabis. I mean, let's not go into the moral obligations or, you know, the what's going on with cannabis, but certain people are for it and some people are against it. It doesn't make it either right or wrong. It just makes it right or wrong for you. So if you're living your life with integrity and you believe that, you know, cannabis is an absolute evil, you know, you're going to live your life based on that moral code. And, you know, you need to understand that other people may not agree with that, but that doesn't mean that you have to bend your will in order to meet other people's idea of what's right and what's wrong. You need to be able to articulate why you believe what you believe and what the reasons for it are. And if we can defend our viewpoint, if we can defend what we believe, if we can defend that, then we're being, you know, a living a life of integrity. We're taking every thought that we do and we set you going, you know what, this is what I believe. This is the things that I think are right. These are the things that I think are wrong. And if you put every decision that you make in life up against that personal moral code and that set of beliefs, you're living your life with integrity. You know, somebody else may not agree with what you say. Somebody may not agree with what you believe, but it's up to you. You need to sit there and, you know, think about it and sit there going, why do I believe what do I believe? Why do I think this is important? Why am I against this? Why am I for that? And be able to defend it and be able to communicate it, be able to articulate it and sit there saying, this is why. You know, you may not need to do it to other people, but you need to be able to do it to yourself. You need to be able to justify to yourself this is why I believe what I believe. And this is why, you know, I need to live my life this way, with a life of integrity. You know, there's a great quote from Zig Ziglar: with integrity, you have nothing to fear, since you have nothing to hide. With integrity, you will do the right thing. You will have no guilt. And that's from an article I'm going to post. You know, my friend Morris Sweeney wrote it this morning, and I'm going to post it in the notes on Friday with The Voice. And I think it's important. You know what? You don't live a life with guilt if you believe what you believe and you live your life based on it. I'm going to tell you a story. I used to have a very large client. You know, I've had lots of large clients over the years, but this is a significantly large client. They used to give me several hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of business on a yearly basis. And there was a change of management. And we used to do promotional marketing for these people, hats and mugs and t-shirts and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we were very integrated into their, you know, into their business model. And the person who I dealt with, my main contact, retired, and a new person came in. And that was about the same time we were having issues with the supplier. So I went to the new new person and I said, look, we're having issues with supplier. I want to make sure that we have a seamless thing. I'm going to take this particular hat. We're going to take it to a new supplier and we're going to make it work. And what happened was I went and took the hat to the new supplier. I gave them the file. We got, you know, we got a printed proof made up. We got a physical proof made up. The customer signed off on it three separate times. And we brought the physical sample to them and they looked at it and they said, yeah, that's great. Go and make, I don't know, what is it? It was 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 of these hats. It was a significant order of hats. And guess what? There was a spelling mistake. An O looked like a C. They forgot to stitch it. And I said, I went, oh my God, let me just go back to these people. They made a mistake in the stitching. Let me fix it. And my manufacturer came back to me and said, Ben, they signed off on it three separate times. And it looked exactly like this. And I went back to the proofs and they were right. They were absolutely correct. It was not the fault of the manufacturer. And I said, you know what? You're right. This is not your fault. And I moved back from them and said, okay, what can we do? And we worked together and we said, okay, what are some things we can do to make this right for the customer? And we came up with two or three different solutions and we went to the customer and we said, look, you've signed off on this. We realize there's a mistake. We missed it. You missed it. Here's some ways we can fix it. Here's a way we can mitigate some costs. Here's some ways that we can try to fix this thing in a cost-effective manner. And their attitude was, no, this is your problem. You gave me the hat. You know, it's you made this mistake. You fix it, and it's good. You know, and I really don't care. And they started to question the integrity of me, my company, and my manufacturer. And they were being unreasonable. And we tried everything we could to make this right, to fix it. And then they started sitting there going, well, we don't think you're an ethical company. And that was the last straw. That was absolutely the last straw. And I said, so we're done business. He goes, what do you mean? I says, I'm firing you as a client. He goes, you can't do that. We're worth $250,000 to you. I said, I don't care. He goes, what do you mean? I says, as soon as you question my integrity, as soon as you think of me as unethical, our business relationship is over. You know, because every single decision you're going to make from this point forward, you're going to have the viewpoint that I'm dealing with an unethical person, or I'm dealing with an immoral person, or this person is not going to stand up behind what they're doing. And I can't have that. I can't have a relationship with a client who believes that. And with that, our relationship was over. And you know what? It ended up costing me some money. We ended up going to his boss's boss. Cooler heads prevailed. They covered the cost of the hats. And you know what? We walked out of there almost null and void. And 3.5 months later, it was 3.5 months of my time. You know, my vendor got paid. We ended up making absolutely nothing. And I lost a client that probably for the last 10 years, you know, or more, would have probably given me $200,000 to $250,000 a year. But it got to a point where you need to have a land in the sand. You need to sit there and say, when is your personal integrity being attacked to a certain point where there is no longer a relationship? And at that point in time, it wasn't about money. It wasn't about, you know, dollars and cents. It was about, do we have a relationship moving forward? And the answer to me was no. And that was really hard to go back and talk to my wife and say, by the way, we just lost this account and this is why. And she got it. And she realized we weren't going on vacation that year. We might not have gone on vacation the next year either. But she realized that it was about the only way that I was going to be able to look myself in the mirror, that I was going to be able to sleep at night, and I was going to be able to pick myself up and move forward. And luckily, I've been able to pick up some really great clients since then and, you know, change our business model and be far more strategic and be a company that people look to for strategy in terms of their branding and marketing and work with clients in a space to how we can move their business forward. And you know what? It probably put me in a better position. It probably made me realize, what do I want to be? Who do I want to be? What's important to me? What do I value? You know, what did I learn from this situation and what could I do better or what could I do different? And in some respects, you learn there and say, you know what, there is nothing better, more I could do. In that particular case, there was absolutely nothing else I could do. But you know what, we all need to live by a moral code. We all need to realize what's our line in the sand. So as we go to commercial, think about what's your line in the sand. What are the things you believe in? What are the things you'll fight against and why? Let's go to commercial.
This is Ben Baker of the You're Living Brand.live show on K4HD Radio. We'll be right back.
The You're Living Brand show is brought to you by Your Brand Marketing. Did you know that the world views your brand not as you desire, but as it relates to them? That's why you need to communicate your brand. Tell a story. Win loyalty. Your Brand Marketing helps you reach that goal. It's time to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. It's time to contact Your Brand Marketing. Please visit www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download a free chapter of the book on personal branding. That's www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download your free copy now.
Welcome back to K4HD Radio. This is Ben Baker, and this is the You're Living Brand.live show.
And we're back. Thanks a lot for that, you know, being with us this morning. And as always, I always love hearing your questions. So, you know, when you guys get a second, ask me a question, ask my guest a question. Johnny Lee and I are about to talk. He's got a company called C-Level Partners. And what they do is they help their clients with some of the hardest things that happen in any business, sales. It's one of the most misunderstood part of the business, and it's so integral that, you know what, without sales, nothing happens. And I'm a sales and marketing guy. I think sales is important. I think marketing is important, but they need to work together. And unfortunately, most of the time they don't. So Johnny, welcome to the show.
Yes. Good morning. How are you?
I am excellent. Welcome. Thank you for coming to us from Florida. You and I are about as far away as humanly possible. You know, it's probably about 7 hours of flying time and at least one layover for me to get to your doorstep, but I'm coming. Yeah. I got to get down to your area of the world. I love Southern Florida.
Oh yes. It's a beautiful time of year, especially right now. Yeah. South Florida, Delray Beach over here in Southeast Florida. Originally from Connecticut though. So I do know what it's like to be cold.
Yeah. Connecticut is you know, the land of cold, especially between about November and about mid-March. It is definitely cold and snowy there. So I don't blame you for moving south.
Yeah, no, we've been down here now since 2007 and love it. We'll never look back. Still have family up north, but we always stay down here. We love it.
Nice. So let's dig into this. I mean, this show is the key words of the show is what's your story. So let's get into this. Let's find out, what do you do? Who do you do it for? And why do these people care? What's the value that you add? Because as I was saying before, sales is integral to any company, and it is something that is really, really hard for people to understand the value of. So I want to get people to understand, you know, why do you do what you do and how do you guys add the value that you do?
Yes. And look, I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for having me on the show. This is great. So a little bit of background about myself. I've been in sales for some time. Just fast forwarding some, I ended up going and working for a consulting firm, private boutique firm, small. And, you know, they had growing pains, right? Like a lot of organizations out there, they were small, they wanted to grow. they were trying to do the same thing over and over again in terms of, you know, getting them more clients, client acquisition, and expand their footprint. And they just started hitting roadblocks. And here I come in and look at their process. Obviously, they're a consulting firm, so they know everything because they go and help everybody. It was a grind to kind of get them to look at other ways of going about sales and client acquisition and approaching the market. Well, I started creating a system, right? Something I call the traction system, which is, you know, again, looking at who your buyers are, recognizing the value proposition that you could bring to them. And, you know, we'll expand on that a little bit. But as we continue to improve upon that process, I knew at the firm I was at, I knew we had a great implementation process. I knew that we could definitely help organizations. So I firmly believed in the value that we brought organizations. I also recognized that we were nobody, right? We didn't have a solid name like the big fours that are out there, the McKenzie's, the Lloyd's, and all that. So I figured, you know what? We have to get in front of the right people, right? Buyers of services. And we have to talk to them about what's most important, which is the bottom line and sustainable improvements. And looking at that and being a sales passionate person, we started expanding and hitting strides. I mean, we went from, you know, 20 to 30 to 40 to 50 to over 100 million in 4 years. And
In four years.
And after seeing tremendous success in that and recognizing, obviously, you know, market, the trends, the industries, we expanded our footprint globally as well. We started doing more further south of the border. So everything was really going well. I realized that my passion, and really it's interesting when you start to really do what you love, you it's like everything falls into place for you, Ben. I'm sure you experienced that, right?
Absolutely.
And I found it right there, which was the ability to work with folks that want to be in sales and make them stars, and the ability to work with organizations that want to expand and turn them into the dream that they're looking to become. Mm-hmm. And it is my firm belief that there are many great products and services out there in the market today that all they need is that outlet, the at-bat moment. And that's when we launched C-Level Partners. And we launched it in February 2014. And really the model is work with organizations, product or services that have a need to break, you know, B2B, that want to get into large enterprise organizations as well as small mid-cap companies.
Sure.
And their goal is to meet with buyers of their services, be able to articulate in an in-person or over the phone meeting, explain the value, and ultimately convert that. So we, you know, we're known as force multipliers at the end of the day, and we kickstart the selling process by getting them in the door.
Right. I mean, what you say sounds simple, but it's not. It really isn't. I mean, to be able to understand, first of all, who your true client is, who they're not. What's their pain point? What are the things that are really making them tear their hair out? And realizing, do I actually have a product or service that can fix this? And then be able to articulate that level of trust, you know, to a point where they're sitting there going, I'm willing to trade money for services to help you solve that problem. You know, when you break it down, it sounds really simple. But you know what? It takes a lot of hard work, and there's a lot of no's that you go through before you're going to get to your first yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. And that's the biggest struggle for many organizations. You'll be surprised. You know, we, you know, kind of just a little storytelling. Many of the organizations that we talk to that come to us, right, whether they heard about us, referrals or whatnot, they're at a point of decision making. Okay, am I going to sell out and go and merge with a bigger entity because I can't expand to where I need to sustain the growth and the volume and the revenue that I need? Or am I just going to shut down? because apparently it's not working. And they start to spend tremendous amount of resources and money investing in different kinds of trainings, different kinds of marketing, new product development. It's the product. It's the product. The product's not working. It's the trade shows. The trade shows we're attending, they're not the right ones. It's my sales guy. He's not the right guy. And they go through all of this without just looking organically at their process and recognizing, well, how many at-bats have we actually had? And let's forget about the at-bats with what I call SEE, see more, somebody who sees with their eyes, see more executives. Those are just all people that just want to gather all the information from you to then go and self-medicate themselves and be looked as a hero internally in organizations. That's what I call them, see more executives, rather than a C-level. And when I say C-level, I don't mean always CEO or COO or CFO. When I mean C-level, I'm talking somebody who could make a decision. You know, a chief at the end of the day is somebody who could make a decision, has the autonomy, has the P&L, could write a check, right? So, you know, they recognize sometimes late in the process, they just need more at-bats, because that's when you could start to really reverse engineer your organization and see where the gap is.
Yeah.
Right? Now that I have enough at-bats with the CEOs and the presidents and we're not converting, we have a sales process issue. We have a salesman issue.
Right.
Now that I had all the at-bats and we are converting and we're at the finish line and now it's all about looking at the product itself, you know, and it's not working or it's not converting, we probably have a product issue that we need to look at a little more, right?
Sure.
But that allows you to do that now. Whereas a lot of organizations, you know, pull the plug a little too soon without actually having the ability to recognize where their need is.
Well, and that's the problem with a lot of organizations. There's two things you brought up, and one I'm going to go into one and I'm going to go into the other, is that too many organizations sit there and say, well, I've got all these problems, and they try to fix them all at once. Instead of sitting there and systemizing it, you know, one great thing about marketing is great marketers realize you change one thing, just one thing, then test it. And then you, once you got that down to absolute as good as you can get it, then you try something else and then you test that again. And it's does things resonate? Am I doing the right things? Am I going through the right process? Am I, you know, speaking to the right people? Am I actually talking to people that have the ability to pay? You know, Ellen Malcolm Moore was on my show a couple of weeks ago and she talked about the ATPs. You know, do they have a need for my service? But do they also have the ability to pay? You know, is this something that, geez, they'd really like to have? Or is this something that they go, you know what? Giddy up, let's go. And you're getting in front of the right people at the right time is a skill that most people don't realize. That's the biggest thing for salespeople, is to make sure that they're speaking to people not only who have a need, but have a need either now or be able to sit there and say, when are you going to have this need, and be able to follow up in the right amount of time?
Absolutely. And that's, you know, and that's where the pipeline comes in, right? And the management of such.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's funny because you mentioned, you know, the right people at the right time. Our tagline at C-Level Partners is right people, right role, right now. Right. And we talk about that because, the people in the role in the right now speaks to our speed. We know who to go after, because it all boils down to, you know, we could drill this down and you and I could have so much fun talk about this for hours. But it boils down to, you know, when you're speaking to the right, you know, the person could have the right title, but we have to recognize as sales folks, both inside and out, are you speaking to an economic buyer or are you speaking to a technical buyer?
Absolutely. Right?
Or are you speaking to a C-more executive? Again, yeah. C-more executives, folks that can't make a decision, spend hours with you. And that's where billions of dollars are spent, by the way. Every year, billions of dollars are spent. People come all the time. I have all this activity. This is great. Look at my pipeline. And then you start to ask, okay, can this person make a decision? Most of the time, they can't answer the question.
Yeah.
And if they do, it becomes, well, they have to go speak to Paul, who's got to speak to Lucy, and they got to speak to Tom. It's like, come on, what are we doing here, right?
So why aren't you speaking to Tom? Why are you speaking to this guy when you should be speaking to Tom?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So they make a tremendous amount of mistakes. A lot of organizations do. But look, at the end of the day, we find so much comfort and we have such a passion because we take organizations from where they are, recognizing that they're $5 to $10 million and they just want to get $2 or $3 million more a year. They want to see themselves expand. Most of their work is repeat business, which we've all been in those shoes where a lot of the work could be repeat business and one client could be 75% of your revenue. which yeah. that's a horrible position to be at.
It's
right?
scary. I've seen that happen. You know, as I said before, I've lost $250,000 clients. Those are hard to replace.
Exactly. They're very hard to replace. But you know what? When times are going great, I always remind myself, and I tell this to a lot of even my one-on-one clients that I do coaching with, when times are going great from a revenue perspective, I urge you to do a quick analysis on where it's coming from. And then remind yourself, and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, as they say, right? But remind yourself where it's coming from and how you could mitigate that risk, right? So that you're not in a position to, you know, to have to lay off or, you know, or whatnot, right? Or even worse, because you lose a client, right? So I'm passionate about sales. I mean, sales to me is everything at the end of the day. And I'm a firm believer in that, because if you're selling a message, you need to make sure the people who are listening are buying in. You're selling a product, you need to make sure, A, you could sell it. You know, to me, a sale is when I get folks around me to do what it is that I need from them, to do what it is that I'm asking of them. And you can only do it in a fashion by using the right tonality, the right approach, and use the right words at the end of the day, right? So that's why I'm passionate about sales in everything that I do.
Yeah. And you went into something I'd like to drill down a little bit more. You were talking about different types of buyers. And a lot of people don't realize it. They think everybody buys the same way, and they don't. You know, different people you need to approach differently based on how they make decisions. And a lot of people don't ask the simple question. And that question is, how is the decision made? You know, what are the things that you need to know to be able to move this process forward? So what are the things that you do to teach people to understand the type of the buyer that they're dealing with?
See, most of the time, you know, the root cause of that and why organizations do not have all the intel that they need when they're not even before they make the call, but when they're already in the process of selling their services or trying to sell their services, is because they don't know how to ask it the right way. See, the intention is right. Many times, most salespeople know that they should ask, they want to ask, but how do I ask somebody, hey, can you write a check? Do you have the ability? You know, because if people get afraid, right? It becomes, well, I'm testing their limits, their ability. How are they going to say no to me? And the training around that is all on how do you articulate that so you could get it in a non-threatening fashion. So with our clients, we always look at it as, first of all, you know, telling is not selling, right? You want to listen. You want to understand what the person's scope is. What's their scope of work? Begin to understand their level of responsibility based on that initiative. Then understand, is it a want or a need? Right? Would it be nice to have this product or service, or do I need to have this product or service? And how do you start to find that out is by asking questions in terms of a reverse order. For instance, you know, Ben, let me ask you a question. If you don't implement this new system that it looks like you've been looking at it now for quite some time, what would you say are the challenges that you and the organization would be faced with come third or fourth quarter of this year? How do you foresee that a new system will help you in terms of your initiatives, you know, as it relates to the bottom line or to growth or expansion? You know, so you start to quantify where in the bucket list does this new system, if that's what I'm trying to sell, whatever it is of benefit to that person and his business, right? Yeah. So you ask these questions. And then another, the non-threatening buying question. Right. And the way I always tell people is very, and you got to do it conversationally, right? It's all got to be conversationally. So it comes across very, you know, original, very organic in your flow, which is, you know, Ben, look, obviously being a conglomerate organization like yours, having the amount of success that it's had in a global footprint, we recognize that many divisional leaders like yourself tend to be faced with, challenges when it comes to bringing in resources. Would you say that in your organization, you could bring in a resource, or do you tend to have to involve financing or procurement or some of your other leadership, you know, colleagues into the discussion? Is it common to bring them in, and when do you think it's best? You're giving them the authority to feel like, you know, they're not someone who can't make a decision, and you're giving them the authority to then share with you the way it works culturally in that organization, AKA you're finding out in a non-threatening fashion, can they make the decision? And most likely they're going to tell you, or they're going to be clear. No, I could, you know, if I'm ready to go, I could have you guys come in and start tomorrow. Or they'll be very clear and say, you know what? Absolutely. I have to bring our controller in the mix and our chief procurement officer or whatnot.
Yeah.
And you have to be an approved vendor. But guess what? Now you have your roadmap to success.
Absolutely. I mean, that approved vendor thing, that's the deal. We'd love to work with you, but we only work with approved vendors. Yeah, and you need to go through procurement in order to be able to figure that out. Okay, well, you know, then you're going through that whole new process that goes along with it. But, you know, being able to qualify that early on to sit there and say, who are the people that need to be in the room? You know, who are the people who can make decisions? Because if you're dealing with somebody who doesn't have the authority to say yes, they only have the ability to say no, you're in trouble. You know, you're in serious trouble because you're wasting a lot of time. I got this great question. How do you know you're selling the right things to the right people? That's a great question.
No, that is a great question. And, you know, it all boils down to the benefit case at the end of the day and the value, right? So you as a service provider or selling the technology or products or whatnot, you need to be able to know how to reverse that into their organization and recognize where the value is going to come in, whether it's a one-time value proposition or a sustainable value, right? Like a system, for instance, that has long-term effects into an organization. Yeah. You have to be able to boil that down, and they have to be able to see that what it is they're going to get from you actually brings to them the success and the accomplishments that they need for their organization, for growth, or for whatever it is, right? But at the end of the day, if you speak with the right level of conviction and you're able to articulate your value proposition correctly and show them in a meaningful fashion how it actually brings the support, they will be clear. I mean, the transparency would be there that, you know what, we can't use that right now because of XYZ reasons, right? So it's all about in the articulation of value, if you will.
And I've also asked, I've also asked enough questions to sit there and say, wait a second, you're telling me you need this, this, and this. Quite honestly, our product or service doesn't do that. I don't think this is a good fit for you, or I just don't think that, you spending this money is going to move the needle the way you want to spend it. And, then you're not wasting their time as well, and you're not wasting yours. By qualifying the customer early and getting to understand what is the root issue that they're trying to solve, gives you the ability to say, can I actually solve this problem? And sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is absolutely not. I am absolutely the wrong vendor for this. And, you walk away and you shake hands. And you will be seen as being far more professional by doing that than trying to sell them something that they don't need. Because next time you come to the well and you go back to them and say, we talked about this thing 6 months ago. Well, we've got a new program and we think we can solve this for you. They're going to be way more interested in listening to you than if you sold them a bill of goods that, 6 months later is not solving any needs.
I love it. I love it. I think you used the word integrity before.
Yeah.
So I'm a firm believer in that in the process of selling. You have to be able, and you know what? You're 100% right. Right. You are going to win so many more points if you're able to articulate to that potential buyer that it's not a good fit and explain the reasons why. But it doesn't mean that tomorrow they can't be a great buyer or a great, user of your product or services. Right. So, absolutely. And that's where the pipeline management comes in, which is critical.
Yeah. And, let's talk about pipeline management because that's important. Sales, the one thing I know about salesmen, because I've been one all my life and I've managed sales teams, is they hate paperwork. Salespeople, 90% of them absolutely hate paperwork. They hate the system. They just want to go out there and sell. They don't want to sit there and put in the notes and do the back end stuff and all that kind of stuff. How do you get people to understand that having a great contact management system that they can write notes in, be able to put all that information and put follow-up information so therefore that they can be able to follow up with people in 6 months, 9 months, a year, 18 months down the road is actually something of real value, that it's not just garbage in and garbage out, that the more information you put into the system, the more valuable it is. Because I know a lot of sales managers, a lot of VP of sales have real challenges getting their teams to actually utilize the technology that's out there.
You know, great question. And we see it all the time when we start to work with customers as well, right? Our clients, the firms that we work with, they always are utilizing, whether it's SAP or not SAP, I'm sorry, Salesforce or other type of CRM services to help them manage. And typically what I end up looking at when they actually share it with us so we could help them optimize it in many ways, I'm looking at a phone book. I'm looking at a contact list. That's all it is.
Yeah. And
when I ask meaningful questions, right? Like, how do you quantify the attainability of your driver goal with this particular executive or this organization if all I have here is that you saw him twice at Starbucks last week or the week before or last year? Where does this have any meaningful data for us? And then all the good notes are either hidden in an email or they're written down in some, you know, notebook somewhere in the bottom of their trunk. You're 100% right. And here's the reason why it's not effective. Look, I'm a type A person. I need to see the win, right? I need to feel it, touch it, smell it. That's just me. So I used to be a victim of that. And of, you know what? I'll put it in later. I have all the notes in my mind. So be it. The way I realized how key and how successful I could be by utilizing the CRM is when I start to measure my results with the CRM. Right. In other words, if you're able to share with your team, your sales leaders, your inside and outside folks, that the data that they inputted 9 months ago is the reason why you got this follow-up or you converted this opportunity or now you got this sale done, that's going to show them the value that they receive from inputting the data correctly. You have to share, but that's a cultural issue, right?
Absolutely.
Organizations, inside and outside, marketing and sales, there's always this fight between each other, right? Well, my marketing outlets would want that. No, my inside guys would call that. No, the outside persons would got this, this, that, and the other. Culturally, if you're able to show the data, and data is so important, AI is so important. If you're able to show the data, trust me, you're going to start to get buy-in from your team, and they're going to start to input the data correctly. And then the right KPIs in place to see the success, right?
Well, exactly. The key performance indicators, you know, for people who don't understand what KPI is, you know, the key feature of that is they got to be key. You know, they have to be measurable and important to your organization. Everybody sits there and says, well, we need to have these four KPIs because that's what IBM or Deloitte or whoever measures against. Well, you know what? Is it really important to your organization? You know, there's so much garbage that is put into a CRM that's totally not necessary, not interested. So if you streamlined it and said, these are the things we want to measure, these are the things that are important, and this is why it's important. And you build it into the culture, and those same metrics are understood by sales, by marketing, by ops, by customer experience, by everybody together. So you're all measuring the same thing the same way and seeing the wins together. Then there's value there. It's these horrible silos that companies build up that pit sales against marketing, against operations, against customer service, where none of these organizations, you know, none of these people within these organizations even talk to each other anymore because they all think each other are dumb, you know, and they think they're dumb because they don't understand each other and they don't listen to each other and they don't talk to each other. So what do you do to be able to help break down those silos between, say, marketing and sales?
Well, that's what we call, in many cases, an organizational development improvement process, right?
Yeah.
It's recognizing who owns, you know, who has what area of responsibility, but how do we all join together and meet in the middle, which is ultimately the goal, which is to gain the client acquisition and see through to success. I'm a firm believer that sales kickstart your selling process. Inside sales kickstart your selling process. Marketing it allows you to overcome obscurity. Right? Marketing allows you to put your name, your organization, your service in a branding fashion. This is my belief, right? And this is obviously other topics that we could also flow with for many hours. But to me, marketing, and when I work with a lot of organizations, I say, look, marketing is overcoming obscurity. Marketing is allowing you to make sure that your buyer can recognize and see some relevance that, okay, I understand your, yes, I've seen your company before, or yeah, I received this information or whatnot, right? Whereas
brand awareness,
exactly that. Where inside sales kickstart your selling process, and they need to recognize, and it's all leadership. Look, at the end of the day, and I'm going to just talk about this for a second,
there's many forms of management in sales organizations, right? You have your outside sales team that typically have an outside sales manager type that they report to, and you have your inside sales team who reports to a sales manager. When you start to ask the key questions and do a day in the life of study and talking to a lot of these sales companies, you start to realize that the inside salespeople have one idea of what their expectation is. The management that they report to have a different idea of what their expectation is for them.
Yeah.
Right. When you talk to the inside sales manager, to his boss about what the expectation is for all of them, he comes up with a total different number. The outside sales folks have all different numbers. Right. I spoke to an organization the other day that's actually a Fortune 500 company. And they told me that the outside sales team said the inside sales guys are supposed to be 95% of my calendar. When I asked the outside sales manager, what's the percentage, you know, of the calendar appointments, if you will, that the inside sales, 25%. So you got one guy sitting at home most of the time, not making the calls because he's expecting his inside team to load him up. You see, it starts with leadership. It starts with leadership. Leadership, recognizing what are the roles and responsibilities of each organism, of each person, and then coming together in a cohesive fashion. Reward and recognition is what allows every organization to win.
And that's key. And leadership and effective communication, because if everybody is not singing from the same song sheet, if people don't sit there and say, listen, the goal is client management, client acquisition, building brand champions, and getting people to reach into their pocket and spend money with us, that's the goal. And if everybody in the organization isn't hyper-focused on the client and their particular needs, they're doing something wrong, and that's where leadership comes in. So let me ask you one last question, because you know what? We could talk for hours, but you know we're going to run out of time. My favorite question to ask people is, when you walk out of a meeting, when you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about C-level partners when you're not in the room?
Force multipliers, 100% force multipliers. And I say that in the tense of we love it when we hit the strides and the success, and our voice of the feedback or client of the feedback, if you will, it's always the same. You know, come in, you help us get to where we want to get to in a sustainable fashion, and you're always there as a trusted advisor to help us win. And we look at it as a force multiplier. We don't change organizations. We optimize them by just working side by side and being that additional hand to help them win all around sales.
That's great. And I'll put your contact information in the show notes so people can grab the file on Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning. If people go to yourlivingbrand.live, they'll be able to download this on iHeart, on SoundCloud, on iTunes. And I'll have all the information sitting there so people can get in contact with you. Johnny, thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate your time. Sit back in the green room, hang out. I'm just going to say goodbye to everybody. We're going to go out to commercial and I'll be back.
Thank you.
This is Ben Baker of the Your Living Brand.live show on K4HD Radio. We'll be right back.
The Your Living Brand show is brought to you by Your Brand Marketing. Did you know that the world views your brand not as you desire, but as it relates to them? That's why you need to communicate your brand. Tell a story. Win loyalty. Your Brand Marketing helps you reach that goal. It's time to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. It's time to contact Your Brand Marketing. Please visit www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download a free chapter of the book on personal branding. That's www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download your free copy now.
Welcome back to K4HD Radio. This is Ben Baker, and this is the Your Living Brand.live show.
And we're back. Thanks, Johnny Lee. Thank you very much for being such a great guest today. You know what? There are so many things dealing with sales that most organizations just, first of all, they don't think about. Second of all, they don't understand. And three, they don't implement. And it's challenging because sales is the number one way that clients understand your value. I don't care about your technology stack. I don't care about anything that you're doing to be able to work out there and through social media. In the end, people want to deal with humans. Humans want to deal with humans. And if we don't have people in our organization that are talented and want to listen to our customers, understand their particular needs, understand their challenges, and be able to help them make their lives better, we're not doing our job as organizations. And whether you have inside salespeople, whether you use your customer experience team as a sales multiplier, whether you actually have outside salespeople out there dealing with the large organizations, it's important for you to have well-trained, well-versed, and people that care about your customers and people that are willing to, listen three quarters of the time and talk a quarter of the time, because that's what makes a great salesperson. Now, there's a couple of things going on. Next week, we're going to be live from the HR Leadership Summit in Vancouver. I'm going to actually be presenting the show live from the show floor. We're going to be doing something different. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I just thought I'd do it. I got invited to be part of the conference itself, and there's going to be a lot of my clients that are going to be there. And I thought that it would be fun to actually do the show live from the conference floor. So, it might be a little bit noisier, but that's okay. We're going to have a good time with it. Number two, just to guys let you guys know, there's just a couple days left for our Ask Me Anything program. On April 26th, we start working with small business entrepreneurs and startups. And once a month, I'm going to be hosting a 90-minute call. And that call is designed to have you ask anything. Ask me the questions that are keeping you up at night, things that are making you tear your hair out, things you don't understand, and things that are making you not as successful as you'd want to be. I want to be there to answer those questions and to be able to help you out. So you need to sign up, and I'll put the sign up into the notes. It's been in the notes in the last 2 weeks on the yourlivingbrand.live show. If you go to the notes, you'll find the link to sign up for it. But as of April 26th, we are going to be able to shut that thing down. I'm filling it up quickly, and I really want to have members of my studio audience as part of that program. It's only $100 a month, and you know what? It allows you to be able to build your thousands into your company. The third thing I want to talk about is I'm looking for a couple of large organizations to help strategically. I do some CMO work, Chief Marketing Officer work, where I go into large corporations, and this is what I do most of my day. I go into large organizations, and I help them, B2B companies in the 10 to about $35 or $50 million range, and I help them with strategic issues in terms of branding and communication that they have to be able to help them more effectively. And we've just finished off a couple of projects, and I'm looking for a couple of new projects. So if anybody's interested, it's yourbrandmarketing.com. If you know of any, if any of you have clients or friends or things like that that can utilize these services, I'd love the reference, love the referral. So that's the show for another week, guys. It's been fun having you with me. Thank you for the questions. Thank you for being part of the studio audience. Thank you for Rebel for doing such a great job and making me sound so great. And thanks for Johnny Lee for being such a great guest on the show. I want to sign off by saying, it's all about integrity. It's all about understanding your value. What do you believe? Why you believe it? And being able to communicate that effectively. Because if you can do that, you're going to build influence and trust, and you're going to have a powerful personal brand. Until next week, have a great week, and I'll talk to you then.
This has been the Your Living Brand.live show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. My name is Ben Baker, and my company is Your Brand Marketing. We help you to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. If you want to communicate more effectively and build influence through trust, contact us at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. But every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, this is the Your Living Brand.live show. Tune in next week on K4HD Radio when we ask another guest, what's your story?